Well, you know, it's not an easy thing to get up here and do something like this, and having to go through this, I have to say that I have a lot more respect for what Dave does now. This is not an easy thing to do. You know, and I want to thank everybody that had prayers for me this week. It really helped. And it brought a message alive to me. And in this process, you know, the Lord really, you know, he kind of takes you through the things as you're trying to study them. And you think it's just easy to find scripture. Okay, well, here, you know, this is what I need to teach on. But in the process of going through this, the Lord connected with me in ways I didn't think possible at the time. He gave me a word to start with, and I tried to take that word and tried to do some research on it and tried to get myself educated a little bit on what this word was. And in my research of doing this, the Lord took me down a path different than I thought it was going to when it first started. And it really kind of grabbed at what I struggle with. And it's kind of what this is about. This is a little bit of an inner struggle. And let me kind of explain a little bit on how I did struggled with this to begin with. When I started to research this, the word that the Lord gave me was the word jihad. Well, the first thing that crossed my mind was, well, jihad, that's a Muslim word. What's that have to do with Christian faith? You know? And so I actually had gotten online to try to figure out what this word actually means. And all that I'd been taught, jihad, meant holy war. That's all I ever heard. That's what the news tells you. That's what you hear from others. And when I got online to research this, the actual meaning of jihad has nothing to do with holy war. It doesn't even state holy war in there. Jihad itself, the true meaning of jihad, is the definition is struggle or to struggle. And it actually gives you two meanings for this. The first meaning of it is the lesser struggle. And that's the struggle against outside forces. And I believe this is the one that they used to declare holy war. And the lesser struggle or the outer struggle can also mean against Satan. It can also mean things that the world brings against you. And the other one, and this is the one that the Lord led me down the path of research, is called the greater struggle, and that is the inner struggle. That's the struggle you have within yourself. That's the struggle you have, like myself, being up here. I deal with the struggle of fear. I am scared to death up here, and I'm sure it probably shows at times. And those are the struggles he deals with, whether it's fear, anger, doubt, jealousy. Whatever it is, each individual here has their own struggle that goes on inside them. And in that struggle, the only people that really know that struggle and the truth of that struggle is you and the Lord. And that's where the struggle is. It is in your relationship with God. And the reason that you have these struggles most of the time are these are things that God wants you to work on. These are things he's bringing to life and things you have to work through. Like me being up here with my fear, you know, the Lord is teaching me in order to be obedient and doing what he's calling me to do, I have to face this fear. I have to stand up for it. I have to deal with it. You know, that doesn't quite mean just get over it. It's something I have to deal with. And that's part of being obedient. You know, and when I also was kind of dealing with this word jihad, you know, and it taught me that here's a word that God uses, and he can use it for the greater good of people that want to listen to it, and which is how to deal with these struggles. On the other hand, the same word can be used by the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. And as you see in the wars that go on in the Middle East, and these people use this word in order to advance their agenda. And if you look at your personal lives, God does that all the time in things that happen to you daily. You know, whether it's arguments with your wife, whether it's, you know, problems with the car, finances. You get this inner battle that goes on with you constantly. And God's trying to take those situations and create good out of it. On the other hand, the enemy is trying to destroy you and trying to convict you of these things that you struggle with. And so, and it's a matter of how that you yourself are going to view how you're going to handle this situation that defines you. And it defines whether you're going to follow Christ and what he wants you to do. Are you going to let it convict you and beat you up and allow the enemy to destroy you? And so, and it's a frame of mind that you have to get into. And what God had done for me, I was really, really struggling to begin with this. Because in this research, and I was trying to actually go into the Middle East and do a history thing, and this is what my idea, this is my human thinking of this when I started this. And so I started to look this up on the internet and trying to do as much research as I can, the history of, you know, Judea and so forth. Oh, thank you. And the Lord actually, the way he worked this was my computer crashed. And I could not surf the internet on my computer at this point in time. And I thought, well, this has got to be a trick by the enemy. The enemy's, you know, he just doesn't want me to complete this, so I must be on the right track. Well, not only did my computer go down, then my Bible app on my phone also went out. So now I have nothing to work with. And I'm going, well, where's this going? Well, so the only thing the Lord left me with is my Bible and my Bible only. And so I'm still at a loss, and I'm trying to put it all together. Okay, well, Lord, where is this jihad at? What's this mean? What's it tying into what you're wanting me to get across to everybody? And it was sitting and reading that the Lord started bringing this to light. And with the fear that I have up here, the Lord really had me look up scripture to begin with, and this scripture was for me. Most of all, because of my fear up here. And it's from Ephesians 6:19. And it says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And that was a direct message to me to say, stop being afraid. You know, grab a hold of this fear, and I'll take you into the message I want you to give. And so it made me feel so much better about what was going on here. And that's my inner struggle, and that's what the message is really about. And then he started taking it down this really a good path of dealing with these struggles, what direction I should take. And what frame of mind should I be in when I deal with these struggles? Because we're always going to have these struggles every day. They're never going to go away. And once we conquer one struggle, the next one comes up. It's part of the learning process, and we'll have that till the day we leave this earth. We'll always have a struggle of some kind, because if God is not improving us, we're not going to go anywhere, and we're not going to grow in our faith. And that is why we have to have the struggles that we have. And so he led me into Galatians 5:16-26. And before I get started here, I guess, I'd like to have a little prayer. And so, Heavenly Father, as I try to present the message, Lord, that you gave me and you laid on my heart and led me to do, Lord, I just pray for your strength and your courage, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you do give me the words to speak, that I will be obedient to what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, this is living by the Spirit, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. And so, anytime I'm dealing with any of my struggles or any situation, the first thing I have to do is get my mind wrapped around the Spirit of God. Because when Jesus left here, he told us he left us His Holy Spirit, and that's what guides us, and that's what we should follow. So when I do have struggles come up, the first thing that I should do is I need to put on my armor of God, first of all, you know, and so that the enemy is not able to penetrate what the Lord's trying to do. And I should get my mind focused on God and God alone. And so in Galatians 16, it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law." And that to me made me understand that sometimes when I have these struggles, what I think of and the fears that I have, which is, you know, I'm not good enough to be up here. You know, people may laugh at me for being up here. People may say, he doesn't quite know what he's talking about up here. Those are the sinful nature of my flesh that's trying to overtake what the Spirit's trying to do in me. And if I allow them to do that each and every time, I will stand up here scared to death if I do not try to let the Holy Spirit guide me in what he wants me to do. And it goes on to say, you know, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, my selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live by this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's what I need to get my mind wrapped around whenever I start to have a struggle. That's the frame of mind that I need to try to be in every day. When I get up in the morning, that's the first thing that should cross my mind, is that kind of attitude. And if you have that kind of attitude, that's how the Lord's going to guide you. That's how the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, by that fruit of the Spirit. If you get up in the morning thinking, well, you know, I didn't get enough sleep last night, you know, and you have that grumpy attitude in the morning, or you worry about what the day holds, and you don't get in that frame of mind, your selfish ambition is what's going to guide you through the day. What you're going to allow this world to dictate each and every day what you're going to deal with. But if you wake with that attitude of the fruit of the Spirit, that's what's going to guide your day. And that's what will make your day be ran by the Spirit itself. And so that's what I had gotten out of that one. Is to live every day being led by the Holy Spirit and not by my own selfish ambitions and what the world dictates is going to be. And then the Lord took me from there, and he took me over to Philippians, Philippians 2, 1 through 18. And so if I'm living by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord's brought me to that I should imitate Christ. Because as we improve in life and we start learning the lessons God's trying to teach us, you know, our goal is to imitate Christ and how he lived his life. And so this is basically labeled as imitating Christ's humility. And it says, "Brothers, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain or conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also the interest of others." You know, and myself, when I was kind of reading over that, I try the best that I can to do as much as I can for others, and sometimes to the point that I just wear myself out because I do overload myself, and I try to overschedule myself. It's one of the biggest problems. And then I really get into a fear of letting people down because I can't do it. because I can't do everything that I promised myself to do. And so then I get defensive about it. And then I become a little bit angry about it because I get to be that way. And I go, you know, fine, I'm just not volunteering for anything. That's it. You know, my plate's full. I'm not doing anything for anybody. And I do get angry about it. And then some people do, and they come and ask me to do things, and I just don't know. I just can't do that. And I hate that because then it brings up, the struggle within myself of I'm not doing what Christ is calling me to do, which is to help and to serve others. And so you can see how this inner struggle kind of goes. Does anybody, can anybody else relate with that? Does anybody else have that same struggle going, Lord, how do I win? Which direction do I need to go? So then it goes on to say, it says, your attitude should be the same of that as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, who did not consider himself equal with God to be something to grasp. You know, me, myself, when it talks about imitating Christ, I run into that myself going, how do you imitate Christ? Here is somebody that is just perfect and holy. And here I am. I'm just a mess. How can I imitate Christ? But that's what he explains here to us. You know, it's not something you can really grasp. It's something that you're supposed to strive toward. But to try and actually become even with Christ, it's just impossible because he's perfect and we are not perfect and never will be. And so our struggle itself is just to become better. And then someday, hopefully, to be like Christ. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that was above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, and that was, I went and read some more on that after I had read that and under the earth on down here, and it was some really good notes. That stuck out at me. And basically it is telling you that in this world now, all the people that you even meet now that are non-believers, and they will hackle you, they will rib you, whatever it is, they flat out deny it. The fact of the matter is that someday they too are going to have to acknowledge Christ, whether they like it or not. Whether we like it or not, we all at one point in time are going to have to face him, and we're going to have to answer for what we've done, for who we have been. And what we have to ask ourselves in our struggle is, were we trying, even though we weren't always successful, and maybe we didn't always do it right, but was in our heart, were we trying the best that we could to try and obey Christ, to follow Christ? Were we trying to give Christ our complete love? Or were we just saying, you know, I've just had enough of this. I just can't do it all, and I'm walking away. I'm going to go live my own life. I'm going to go do my own thing because I just can't do this with everybody anymore. It's just overwhelming. You know, and that's what we're going to have to face someday. When we stand in front of judgment, when we stand in front of Christ, is Christ going to be able to look at us and say, you know, good job, my faithful servant? Or is he going to say, hey, where were you? You know, I never knew you. You weren't involved. You weren't there. You know, and it's not always that God expects us all to do everything for everybody. What God wants is, where's our heart? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to serve him? Or are we trying to serve others just so that people can look at us and say, hey, you know, okay, that guy right there, he's a great guy. Call him up. He'll do anything for you. I mean, is that what we're trying to do to get that recognition? Or are we doing this to say, you know, I just want to please God. And if serving other people is what God wants, that's what I'm doing. And that's the way I look at it. And that's where my struggle comes in, down that route. And overbooking myself, because I do try to do the best that I can for God. And so, what is that? I think they've used the word he called this. There are certain people in churches that are called yes people, where they got everything going on, and these people, oh yes, yeah, yeah, I'll do that. Oh yeah, I'll do that. Next thing you know, you're going, well, I got both hands up and pulling me in two different directions. I just can't do this. We also have to watch out for that, because it can be overwhelming. You know, for some people it may be different if all you have is just the church every day and that's what you get to do. But if you're trying to balance family, job, church, and serving others, you get pulled in so many directions, and it's hard to balance it all. And so you do have to sometimes say no. But you don't have to, myself, I have to learn, I don't have to be angry if I can't help. I just have to understand and say, Lord, is this something else I need to take on? Or is this something I can let go? And so, I still struggle with that, and I probably always will. But as long as I keep striving forward to what Christ wants me to do, I think is the answer on that. So it goes on to say, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose, not mine, his. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you should be glad and rejoice in me. And that, in my opinion, that is the attitude we should have towards the struggles that we do have. And understanding that we always will have struggle, but get our mind wrapped around that exactly what he was telling us. And so that we would be able to come to the ends and be able to be glad and rejoice with him. And that goes on to skipping over to 3:7-21. And this is the attitude I really love myself. This is why I like Philippians myself. It's really a great book for somebody that has a heart for God and love for people, which I try to consider myself to do. Not always the best at it, but that's what I try to live for, because I, you know, I love God with all my heart. I'm not always great at obeying. I'm not always great at reading like I should, the scripture as I should. You know, I've always had struggles in my life, but, you know, my love is for God. Since I've came to Christ, there's nothing more that I want to do than please God in everything that he asks of me. And I hurt deeply when what I consider disappointing. It really hurts me deeply. So it goes on to say, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. You know, and that was when I first came to Christ, that's exactly how I felt. Everything that I'd had, everything that I'd built up to that point in time, the life I had, the house, the car, whatever finances we had, it just all became nothing to me anymore. And if it was all gone tomorrow, it's all gone tomorrow. That's just stuff. What I find is more important than anything now is my Lord God. And so my life has gone from the selfish ambition of what I want in this life I'm going to create to now it's God, my wife, my son, myself, my job. That's the order I've learned to put everything in. And does it scare me sometimes that I might lose my job because I put God first and what's going on that I think what God wants me to do? It does. It just scares me to death that I might lose my job and lose my house and everything goes with it and end up on the street homeless. And that's a legitimate fear, I think. But I do have to keep God first, and I have to keep in that order. And for somebody that grew up in a family to where the job was everything, without the job, you have no family. That's the way we were brought up. My dad taught me that hard work pays for everything. If you struggle with something, work more. If you're having a problem with your family, go to work. You don't have to listen to it. That's kind of the way that was, you know. Work was always his answer. So to me, you know, I grew up with that. It was work, myself, my wife. That's the way things were growing up, that I had been taught. And so it was a complete reversal for me to try and do it this way. And so I really never had anybody to teach me to do it this way. And so for me, sometimes I feel completely lost. And I don't know which direction. And the Lord tries to tell us to be the leaders in our homes, as men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in their homes. But sometimes I find myself alone going, God, I don't know. I don't know what direction to go. I don't know how to lead my family if I'm not sure what you want of me. And that's a personal struggle that I deal with. But it's amazing to me that every time I go back to the Word, the Lord kind of shows me the answers. And that's why we need to stay in the Word, to find those answers. Because God's going to supply you with, just like He did with that scripture earlier, what did I say when I was struggling with that? And He came up that, so that whenever I open my mouth, the right words will come out. I mean, that's how He works that. And He can take anything that's going on in your life, if you allow Him, and He can turn it to good things, if you allow Him to lead your direction. So where did I leave off at? Oh, here we go. Pressing on toward the goal. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And so that right there to me answered that question to what I've just had. God, how am I supposed to do this? Well, it tells me right there that God's saying that too He'll make clear to me in His time. But I can't forget the gains I've already made from where I started to where I am now. And knowing that, I have full confidence that as I progress forward, God will also show me what I need to know as I go forward. And so I just have to have that confidence. And it helps to have a church family that you can come to when you do have these struggles, because some of you have been through this. Some of you know. And so when we are able to come to each other and have fellowship, and you listen to everybody else give their testimonies and the struggles that they're going through, and you know you're not alone, and you can hear somebody say, hey, you know, this just recently happened to me, and this is what I learned, and you're sitting there, and you're thinking, I am struggling with the same thing. And you're able to see how they're dealing with it, which will also help you dealing with it. And so it goes on in 17 to say, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live it according to the patterns we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables us to bring everything under his control, will transfer our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And see, there's this promise right there. Even though we're not Christ-like now, and we keep striving, the day will come when we will be like Christ. When we get to heaven, and all this is behind us, that's when we'll have the answer that we will be like Christ. He promises us that. So, and then it flipped up back. The Lord had me looking this up this morning as I went through that, rehearsing this, trying to figure, make sure I don't make a fool of myself up here. The Lord took me back over to Philippians 1:6 to confirm what he had just taught me. And it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Which is a great message. But I wanted to end it this way, because as I was taking my trip down to Medford, and I do a lot of Medford trips, and I get to spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation with God on the way down. I don't know if anybody else does a lot of prayer while they're driving. That's when the Lord talks to me the most. And in my driving, the sermon went off great in my head. Not as well up here as it did as you're driving. But I have a CD that I play all the time. It's a great worship CD for me because it really touches my heart. And there are two songs that the Lord kept pointing out to me that he wanted me to play for you this morning. And the first one that I want Alan to do, it really speaks to those that are Christians, those that are in the faith, and those that do struggle. And at times when we're struggling, we find ourselves not in the position that we expected to find ourselves. We find ourselves struggling in a way and really needing the Lord and not knowing which way to go. And it talks about that we have walked away and you brought me back thousands of times. And then the second one that I want him to pray goes into the question that we will all someday, believers and non-believers, will have to face. And that question is, where are you going to go when you die? Where are you going to be? And so when we play that second song, I'd like for the prayer team to come up, and anybody that feels a tug on their heart, God is calling them, or is calling them back, or calling them for the first time. I'd like to give you the opportunity if you think you need prayer. And if you don't feel like you need to do it today, I'd like for you to meditate on that as you're home by yourself, when there's nobody but you and God, and that's all there is. So when you're standing there with God, there's nobody to impress. That's when you are at your most with God, and you can say, God, there's nobody here. There's nobody but you and me. I want to know you, Christ. I want to know what you have for me. If you are out there, God, I want you to know me. Because that's when you're the most honest. See, anybody can get up at any time for prayer and say, yeah, I want to pray this morning. But is this in your heart? Is it coming from you and God personally? That's when you start building a relationship with God. And that's when you can start advancing into what God's called you to be and what you want to be. And then when we're done, I'll have Dan, if you could, close us in prayer.
Of lightning, I've heard the rolling thunder, I've felt the crashing of the waves. And though I've known your presence and been filled with wonder, still there are many things that pull me away. But don't let me go. Sounding crazy, let me ask you, if you died tonight, where would you be? Where would your soul spend eternity? Jesus gave his life. If you just believe, it changed.